Thank you so much, Kathy. So we continue on in this book of 1 John. We're getting near the end, just one more Sunday, and then we don't have to talk about love ever again. What's interesting, though, is as we enter into this final part of the book, we're in the fifth chapter, so it's actually a very short one. Now, remember, this is not a letter that we might understand has been in the past within the Holy Scriptures, like might have been written to a specific church like Romans or Corinthians, that sort of thing. This one is like a letter, or maybe more like a group of sermons that was preached to different communities that were part of the Johannine community. They had been separated and they were in different places. And then there had been a schism, a split that had gone through the church with those who were struggling to understand who Jesus was. And so they had ended up moving on, leaving the church. And so this scripture is written, this part of the book is written as encouragement for those who are still there, to remind them of the importance of staying together as a community. So we get a final kind of like push or argument for how they are to live. Now, the biblical narrative that we understand as the Bible is essentially the experience of God's people living through life. Just as we tell stories, maybe to our kids or our grandchildren, or just to our friends as to what we've done throughout the week or throughout our life, this is a story of how we live as people of faith. We are storytellers. This last week, I was able to revisit one of the greatest cinematic storytelling pieces of all time. Joe versus the volcano. Go ahead and flip it to the next one. I know that you all have this movie in your at-home library. I mean, come on. It's got the heavy hitters, all right? Tom Hanks starring in it. Meg Ryan. Steven Spielberg. This was the 80s, man. Well, if you haven't seen it, I will remind you a little of what happens in Joe versus the Volcano. Joe, played by Tom Hanks, works in a factory. And I will tell you this, the first few scenes just absolutely suck all of the life out of you as you watch that first part. And you can see how Joe just feels like he is dying. He goes to the doctor and the doctor informs him, yes, you are right. You are dying. You have a terminal illness. You have a brain cloud. And you will die within the next few months. Joe leaves, resolute in the fact that he will die. But how will he go forward? He is then approached by a gentleman that offers him an opportunity and says, I have a job for someone exactly like you. I need someone to jump into a volcano to appease the volcano god. For doing that, I will give you the adventure of a lifetime in these last few months that you are living. I will spare no expense. You will fly first class. You will sail on a beautiful yacht into the South Pacific. You will have everything that you need if you will only do this one thing. And so Joe agrees. New sets of clothes, new luggage, beautiful flights, new relationships and understandings. an adventure of all adventures as he makes his way to this small Pacific island. And when he arrives, he's greeted as a king. And it comes time as the volcano is rumbling and he steps to the edge, ready to jump into the volcano and appease the volcano god. It's a story of how one can find life out of death by living. Now, what's interesting about this, and I really struggled this last week because I think that also what gets at part of 1 John and also part of Joe versus the volcano is a key piece that I want you to think about, okay, for the next week or rest of your life. All right? Most of what we understand and the way that we think about the Bible and has been thought about for centuries on top of centuries is this. From the very beginnings of our time as humans, we have seen life as a volcano. That the gods control the volcano, and they require the sacrifice of our life, or a life, to appease it. Even last week, within the scripture of 1 John, there was this word of atonement of Jesus for our sins to God. Now, I'm just going to mention this because this could be a whole study, but I want you to think about this. When we read this as Jesus dying to appease God, that puts God in a horrible place as a volcano God in our life that just wants to appease an angry God. And the reality is that is not in Scripture. That is not in the biblical narrative. It is something that we read into it. Because if you read this text in a different way, today, it is a gift of living as freedom rather than a gift of have to. Okay? When Jesus comes and shows us what God's love looks like, it is all based on a living out, a seeing of how love works. We recognize that with a being like God, it is difficult to understand how someone could love in a way that's so unconditional. It's hard to understand that. Our minds inside go to this place of an angry God that would punish us for doing the wrong thing. But what's interesting is when Jesus comes, Jesus lives out that love in a way that continues to make sure that everybody is included rather than people are excluded. And even today, as this text is read this morning, this idea of this final kind of argument of how to hold and stay the course, it is based out of this understanding that love is a never-ending circle. That God first loved all humanity and calls us children. And if we're children, we have love from the parent. And if we have love of the parent, then we have love for the other children if we exist in God. And if that's the case, then we should live out that love in all the things that we do. And when we live out all the love in all the things that we do, we end up loving others, and we love others of humanity, which God loves, and then God loves us, and we love God, and God, we love all humanity, and it just continues to go around and around. It's this beautiful flow of love, not based out of must or have to, instead out of I get to. And this is an extension. Jesus came to show us how that's lived out. How do we do that? It's by those people who have been seen as outcast in the world, how those that are trying to separate and to break relationship and push people away for all kinds of different things. And we all know there are all kinds of schisms and isms out there that we push people away into a space and say, this is us, and that's everybody else. And Jesus continually reaches past that and says, no, we are all together. That's the thing that's beautiful about the way that Jesus came to repair relationship. That's what atonement at its basic point means, is bringing unity, repairing the relationship. And so today, we get this sense that to understand God is to understand Jesus. And not just Jesus of Nazareth, but Jesus the Christ, which is so much more that we can't even all understand and comprehend. So we get this text today, this beautiful invitation of entering into the flow of love. We recognize the unendingness of it by this interesting phrase that came up, especially on today of all days of Mother's Day. Did you notice at the end there's that kind of thing that we don't always understand? It's like they started talking about water and blood. What's fascinating about that is that within our lives, there are two places that we experience water and blood significantly. At our birth and at our death. It is in the birth pangs of childbirth that the water is broken and blood happens, but life begins. And at death, when the blood stops pumping and the water stops moving in the body, that life changes. This is a flow. And it's not something that does not exist if we just put our heads down. The flow is still there. Because being loved by God is not a choice on our part. You are loved by God. All of humanity is loved by God, is called a child of God. No, our choice is in the recognition, the understanding, the entering into that flow, to entering into the relationship that has been shown to us. What does it mean to embrace life, to embrace this love, to enter into this flow that exists, this circular understanding? The beautiful thing about it is, no matter where you are in your life, whether right now you're just so full of love, you need a place to share it, and that's all that you need to do, and you feel overwhelmed with the amount of love that is in your heart and in your mind and your soul, and you just want to share it, you might be there. You also might be in a place where you feel so unlovable, so outcast, so pushed to the side that it's hard to receive God's love. There's a place for you to enter in the flow at this point. It may be that there's so much anger and frustration that you don't know how to enter in. Sometimes you just need to remember God loves you no matter what you do. That there is nothing that you can do to make God love you any less, and there's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more. You are loved, and so is all humanity. There is life in the love of God. And when that happens, when we're able to embrace life through the fear, through the anxiety, through the cloud that covers our brains and covers our hearts, when we're able to step forward and live in a way of God's flowing love, it changes things. It changes us. It changes our neighbors. It changes our world. It makes a difference. My hope moving forward this week is that you can rest in the comfort of knowing that you are part of God as a beautiful child of God, and that you are moved to share that flow of love each and every day. May we go in love and in life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.